we're on our own. It's just regular people like us. It's moms and dads, and we don't have money behind us or anybody. It's really just us. We sell t-shirts so we can have picnics and stuff. Like, that's really, it's that, like, homemade. But it works.
It's grassroots, and I'm proud of that. Very proud. Yeah. This is grassroots.
It is.
So, and we're going to continue to win with the grassroots. Hi, you're listening to We Are Reopen Bucks. In this series, we sit down with some of the key players in the reopen movement and discuss their experiences navigating the pandemic. Today, I'm chatting with Don Augustine, who served as treasurer on the board of directors of Bucks County Sports Association, which was the youth sports league we created at the end of 2020 to allow kids to play sports in a normal pre-pandemic fashion. Welcome, Don. Thanks for joining.
Thanks for having me, Josh.
So, first question, you've moved to Florida since we wrapped up our sports efforts, and I feel like that is something that probably a lot of folks in Reopen are really curious about, how that's going. So, tell us, what's Florida been like?
Actually, it's been great, truthfully. I feel like a lot of people are wondering, what is Florida really like? Because you hear the stories back in PA about, you know, some places are really still, you know, not COVID friendly, but I have to say the area that I live in, Southwest Florida, is completely normal. There's not any traces of COVID except for the very few people. And I'm talking like 1% that still wear a mask here and there. And that's elderly population or people of color. But for the most part, it is literally life is normal. Today we've got sun and it's 79 degrees and I couldn't ask for better.
Now, have you guys come back? I mean, you moved down there, I want to say it was like late last summer, maybe.
Yeah, so we moved July 29th was our actual official move date. And we were back. I came back about a week later to get my daughter into college. She was finishing her last year of college this year in Eastern University. And then we came back again in November for Thanksgiving. So we've been back twice and we'll be back again in May. So we'll see what the differences are between there and here when we come back in May.
Yeah, I'm just curious if there's like a culture shock element to it. I mean, I think if you came now, stuff now, the last month or so has really just rapidly returned to normal. So other than the weather and it being colder, might not be that much of a difference.
Yeah, in November, it was a little bit like, because I had just kind of gotten into the like little bit of a groove of like going to stores, not really worrying about somebody harassing me about a mask. I have to say I had a bit of PTSD from that whole process, just not being able to wear one and then people harassing you in like even the grocery stores. But so when we came back down in Thanksgiving, it was a little tricky, but I'm not thinking that we'll have too much of a change when we come back this time.
Interesting. Well, let's, I guess, get into, the point of having you on. You were a real central figure in this little effort we had in Reopen Bucks, which we called Bucks County Sports Association. I still go back to when you, me, and others on the board were kind of talking about like what to name it and how to form the structure of it, because it was an official entity, you know, with tax purposes, the whole thing. And almost just called it like, you know, Reopen Bucks Sports or something like that. But wound up calling it Bucks County Sports Association. You would eventually, despite filling many roles, as we all kind of did, to make a league come to fruition from ground zero, from nothing, your official role kind of became treasurer and dealing with all the finances, which was, I mean, that stuff was so far over my head. It wasn't even funny. So many things needed to be solved and figured out and dealt with. And you brought some experience to the whole equation, correct? So like you'd been on a board of directors, I think, in a sports league prior to that.
So yeah, I wasn't on a board of directors, but I was in the leadership role within a program that was based out of Southampton, Pennsylvania. And that was the Upward League that was at Davisville Church, which later formed into its own nonprofit called Reach Sports, which is still in existence today. I had been with them for probably between 10 and 12 years. And I ran the cheerleading portion of that league. It was a basketball program that had cheerleading as well on the side. So I ran that for probably, I want to say 8 to 10 years maybe, and had just stepped out of that role probably 6 to 8 months prior to you looking into starting this type of a program for Reopen Bucks families, I guess is the best way to say it, because most of us were the ones that were looking for a league that was not shut down or not masked up and hard to breathe while you're trying to do sports. So I did work on that program for, like I said, 10 years. And I think it brought a lot of understanding for how we started this up. I was able to kind of see how we started that nonprofit up and kind of bring some of that information over to this league.
Yeah, one of the things that I would always, I think, kind of get stuck on as we were trying to problem solve and make it all happen was I really wanted to make a quality product. Like I did want to, you know, do this so that kids had a place to play, but it had to go beyond that for me. It couldn't just be like a ragtag pickup game. Like I really felt the need to create something that was legitimate and felt somewhat quality. So having the ability to look back on, you know, experience that you had and described, okay, this should happen here, this should happen there, and kind of put operational pieces into place like that was super helpful. And I'm curious, from you having all of that background experience, putting you on the hot seat here, how do you think we matched up? Just looking at where the league wound up going, how we did it all. And I look back on it pretty proud. I think we did a pretty good job, but overall in terms of like quality of a basketball league, say, how does that compare to what you had done before?
I truthfully think that we measured up probably almost, you know, tit for tat on that one, because, you know, we offered a product when nobody was offering a product, including Reach Sports. They took a time off during COVID. I think part of that had to do with the fact of their venue was a church, and the church is where they drew all of their volunteers from. And when I think about those volunteers, a lot of them were in the elderly population of our church. So obviously they probably couldn't put their league on because they didn't have the volunteer base to do it. But what we did in BCSA is we basically mirrored what they kind of did over there, which was we went to the people within our community, within our group of people who were going to be the ones that were benefiting from this league. And we drew volunteers from them. And I think for a basketball product, I think we did a really great job. I think we did a good job of making sure teams were matched up equally in ability as best that we could, while also at the same time honoring requests for, you know, carpooling and family members being on similar teams or similar practice nights. I just think that for what we offered a really good product.
Yeah, you started to talk there about, you know, the fact that Reach was down, other leagues were down. So really, maybe we should get into the history of how that all came to be, because obviously all sports leagues shut down really early on in the pandemic, like spring of 2020, summer of 2020. It wouldn't really be until fall when you had high school sports kind of sort of work their way back, like high school football and stuff, that you started to see rec leagues of various sports come back. And it seemed like, you know, despite the world being extremely abnormal, there's a lot of mitigation and weird procedures and stuff they're doing, all of which now we realize, like, yeah, that was kind of pointless. It was happening, though. At least things were moving in that direction and kids had a place to go to play things. Then in November, we basically had this change or update to the statewide mask order, where Governor Wolf and Secretary Levine, who was secretary at the time, came in and said, okay, now kids need to also wear masks while they're playing sports, like while actively playing the games. And it kind of had this really dramatic effect in the first few weeks of that or update to the order, that a whole bunch of basketball leagues were like, okay, we're just scrubbing here. We're out. We're going to check back in like January or February and hope that we can still do a later season, but we're not going to fight this. Because so many parents were like, yeah, I'm not going to pay if my kid has to wear a mask the whole time. So you were seeing a lot of leagues just straight up fold or say, you know, we're going to delay the start of our season, hoping that this order will go away. And so there we were, kind of wanting from the start to have something that's fully normal, not just running and operational and not wearing masks while they play, but not wearing masks ever in the whole thing and being able to have their grandparents go and see them play and being able to high-five their teammates and shake hands after the game and drink out of water bottles that, oh my gosh, two kids on the team drink out of the same water bottle. Can you imagine? We just, everyone in the group wanted this kind of normalcy. And so we were like, late November timeframe, I think it was, all right, let's make this happen and put it together. Now, I don't know if you can remember the first time we actually, like, you know, touched base to talk about it or when you got involved, but I'm sure there was at some point in there, you know, the moment when you first catch wind of like, all right, this dude's trying to, like, you know, make this totally normal sports league in this crazy abnormal world. What was going through your mind when I was like, hey, Don, do you think you can help out? We got linked
up.
Yeah,
I tried to go back into the Facebook page and find that posting. I couldn't find it, but I do very much remember you putting a post out there and saying, hey, I'm thinking like this might be something that would be cool. Is there anybody who's interested in this? Could you help out? And I remember turning to my husband and going, I really shouldn't get involved in this because I don't know if I really have the time to put into it, like brain-wise. Because like I said, the whole COVID thing just really threw me for a loop because I was probably one of those people would call conspiracy theorists. I literally was not in it at all from the beginning, not even the two weeks to slow the curve. I mean, I did my part, but I just didn't buy into it from the very beginning. I'm a very pragmatic person. It just, something didn't sit right with me. So I looked at Dave and I said, you know, I just don't know, but I feel like I need to do this. And he was like, well, if you feel like you need to do it, then do it. So I kind of just put a little tag in there like, hey, I've been in a basketball program before. If you need any information, let me know. I'll give you some information on how we did it.
Well, and I'm like, you're hired.
I got on a phone call with you after that.
Yeah, there was a lot of recruitment. My recollection is throughout the month of December, you know, we started signups at some point. We were going to try to start the league in early January. So throughout December, a lot of people are signing up and it's quickly becoming very real. Like, oh my gosh, this is suddenly, there's all these people and all these families and all these kids that are like thinking, you know, this is going to happen. Ooh, the weight of responsibility suddenly really sets in. And I kind of had at least a couple of like come to Jesus moments in there where it's like, oh boy, better put together the team, you know, get this whole thing figured out. Because it is hard, I think, hard to explain to people, like to lay people who maybe participate in these things or volunteer. It's hard to explain just how much it takes to actually like put the whole show on. There's just a lot of little things that add up that it really does turn into like a full-time job. And I know most leagues, don't they? They have people who are either paid or, you know, dedicate a huge chunk of their time to making it all happen.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And a lot of those people, that is their job. I mean, if you look at a league like, I'm not as familiar with all the basketball leagues that are down in Bucks County because my kids didn't play that so much except for the Reach program. But I'm very familiar with the soccer leagues. And if you look at like an FC Bucks soccer league, that those coaches are paid. Their people that run the program are paid. So a lot of those programs can run really, really well, and they're very lucrative because they can play and pay all of their employees. With us, it was completely volunteer, and it does take a lot of volunteers. You got people to run practices. You got people who have to be the inner liaison between the event space and the league. And you have people who have to make sure that there's somebody who's medically qualified on site to kind of take care of any issues like that. We have to have policies for that. We have to take care of getting all the equipment that goes into, you know, you didn't just walk into a basketball court and everything's there set up for you. So yeah, there's a lot that goes into putting a league on.
One of the major points that I want to give a lot of thanks to people out there for is when we're talking about volunteers and putting it all together is the coaches. That was from the outset, like kind of my biggest concern is I saw, I think pretty quickly, like, okay, we're definitely going to have enough kids. There's way more than enough interest from people who want their kids to play. But what about, you know, you need people to step up and coach. And again, not being an established league where we can just draw from people. I don't know the first thing about basketball. So I'm like, am I going to have to coach? We did have so many parents and volunteers step forward, or, you know, people who we even had coaches who, like, that's what they do. They run basketball clinics or work for basketball coaching places and stuff like this. And they just get involved because they like the idea and they support the cause. I think at the end of it, we had something like 60 total coaches across both sports. Their willingness to just give all that time and, you know, not ask for anything in return. Like, we couldn't pay. All we could do is offer this, you know, as a cause, as a movement. It was really incredible. That, I think, was an incredible part of it for me.
Yeah, absolutely. The coaches definitely are a key thing when it comes to leagues, especially because you also have to, you're getting these people to volunteer, but then you have that extra layer of, you need to make sure that they're actually like legit and okay to be around children too. So
yeah,
not process. Only did we have people step up, but they were very good people. Let's just say there was nothing hidden in their background. So it was really good.
Yeah. And I mean, your husband is right up there. He coached one of the basketball teams, coached one of the soccer teams. I'm curious how much of that was, Dave, like, all right, you know, I'm in, versus at this point you're in because you're stuck on the board of directors somehow. And do you kind of pull his arm into it?
No, you know what? Actually, Dave really likes to coach. And that's another phase of this whole reopen movement that I really loved, is the fact that I have a 12-year-old daughter who, when COVID basically hit and things shut down, that was her fifth grade year in elementary school, which is a pivotal year for these kids. It's their last father-daughter dance. It's their last chance to go on a trip as a group. It's a lot of last things happen in fifth grade before they move to middle school. And so it was her last chance to play on Reach Sports basketball. It was her last chance to have a father-daughter dance. And so this BCSA, part of the reason of why I actually got involved in it was because my daughter had things stripped from her. And I'm like, she needs one more chance to just have like closure and finish this out, you know? So yeah. we were talking about putting her on the league. And that really, Dave was like, well, if she's going on the league, I'm coaching her. Cause that's what he had done previous years for my son and for her, at the Reach program. So, it just was a given that he was going to coach, whether I was part of the board of directors or not. But yeah, he loves to coach. He loves to coach our kids. The relationships that we've built with families from our teams over the years have been lasting friendships. So yeah, that's something that we really do enjoy.
That's fantastic. I definitely remember a couple of times with basketball where, you know, because it's in the middle of winter, you have snowstorms and stuff. There were a couple of times when, for whatever reason, another team like didn't quite have coverage. And Dave was one of those guys who was always willing to like jump in another spot and just jump in and help out wherever needed. And one of the really best parts of the whole story for me, that this doesn't really get talked about anymore, is when we went into soccer, we had the experience as a board of directors of having someone reach out to us and ask if their daughter with Down syndrome can play. And we, you know, never really dealt with anything like that. So we're talking it all over. And Dave, you know, having experience with your son, was not even a question. He was like, absolutely, let's do it, bring it on. And I feel like that's a good representation of, for this particular girl and their family, that changed everything. This was at a time when, you know, kids couldn't do anything. You didn't have, forget about the sports and the wearing masks. Well, you play the sports, like, the whole world was still kind of in chaos and things were shut down and there was so much that people couldn't do. So to be able to do something impactful like that and have the background that really serves it well, I feel good looking back on like what we were able to do.
Yeah, there. Absolutely. And that's what I feel like, is this league, it served all of Bucks County, wherever you were in Bucks County, whatever part of life or thing that you were facing in this whole process. I feel like we did service our community well.
So what do you take from it down to, now that you're down in Florida, I'm curious what you mentioned that you're still in touch with some folks from the whole rigmarole of doing it. That's kind of cool.
Yeah. I mean, I have to say, you know, well, but part of it I'm still involved in. Okay. So I was a liaison for Centennial for the whole schools, trying to get them reopened the right way and trying to get the masks to be optional and stuff. But I will have to say that the board of directors of BCSA will be my lifetime friends. I still chat with people over Facebook Messenger. I still talk to them. I will have to say, you guys probably don't even realize this and people won't know until they hear this podcast, but of all of my friends of 48 years, a lot of them that I've known for a very, very long time, especially people that I went to church with, because I attended a church for 45 years. you guys were the only ones who actually threw us a little kind of going away party, which was kind of neat because you were the closest friends that we had when we left. And that was the most bittersweet part of leaving at the time that we left.
Yeah, it was obviously so many people, I think, you know, they at least consider moving to Florida. If not, I know at least like half a dozen folks who have moved to either Florida or, you know, a similar destination because of COVID. I didn't even ask that at the beginning, actually. Did you guys move specifically because of like COVID restrictions and wanting to go to a more free state, or were there other reasons?
I want to say no to that answer, but there are parts of it that do drive me there. Dave and I have talked for many, many, many years, probably a good, we're married 25 years this year. For probably a good half of that time, we've talked about retiring somewhere warmer. I have an autoimmune disorder, so I don't take the cold very well. So, you know, each year gets a little bit harder for me when winter comes. And if you remember, last winter was a pretty cold winter. And so I just kept saying to Dave, I said, I think we really need to move up this process. I think it's not going to be when we retire. I think it needs to be before that. Another side of the story is I have a daughter that's graduating college. And I kind of am at that point in my life where I'm like, I don't think I want my daughter settling on a husband and starting a family in a place where I probably won't be the rest of my life. Because I'm going to want to be there, you know, around get grandkids and things like that. So we said, you know what, before our kids settle down and really kind of get their own lives going, we probably should consider this. Well, and then COVID hit and kind of, I got
to like the push.
I was just fighting to live a normal daily life. And I was seeing the toll on my daughter having to carry a 25-pound backpack on her back every day and not being able to breathe, going up and down steps at school, having to carry a water bottle because they shut down water fountains, and my son with Down syndrome going to school and then forcing him to wear a mask because no doctor will sign an exemption form. And the Centennial was terrible with allowing anybody to get an exemption form if it wasn't signed by a doctor. And just all of those things. I mean, my son with Down syndrome actually was in school and vomited in his mask, and they stuck another mask on him and sent him.
Oh my God.
I mean, it was just not a good situation for me. And my son was going to go into his senior year this year. And I was like, he didn't have most of the stuff in his junior year that you would normally have. Some parents got together a prom at the very end of the school year, which was really good. But everything else that you would normally have in a junior and a senior year was kind of being stripped away from these kids. And I just said to my husband, I'm like, we need to move up this timeline because we're going to do it. It's a given. But we just need to move it up, and we need to give these kids at least one good year of school before, you know, especially my son before he graduated. And we actually were looking at Georgia. That was one of the places that we were really pretty strongly looking at, a place called Buford in Georgia. We really liked the area, but then the political things that
They've changed.
I was like, no chance. I'm not going to Georgia. My only option left.
It's a little risky.
Yeah. So that's how we ended up back in Florida.
Well, it does sound like kind of a lot of things were moving in that direction. And then, you know, COVID helped that. So a lot of things coalesced for you guys on Florida. And like I said, I remember at the time, obviously very sad because you were such a key person in not just the BCSA thing. Definitely that had taken by that point like 6 or 7 months of just pure focus to make it all happen. But in a broader sense, you were really involved and you guys were great people. So I feel like every time folks go and move, there is that aspect of like, you know, losing another awesome person. But, I'll always look back really fondly. And I want to mention too, you brought up Centennial. Your involvement there should really be called out because later in November, all of the seeds that you planted helping out with that group and getting people organized and doing things, Centennial would go on to become the only board in Bucks County that flipped on its election. It was kind of a miraculous flip. They needed to win all of the seats, Republicans did, and they did against unexpected odds and wound up flipping the board. And now, you know, it's still a slog there. It is a really tough school district, but they've been moving in the right direction for sure ever since then. So it's kind of a good story with Centennial that at least now things are headed in the right direction.
Yeah, unfortunately, it takes lawsuits and a whole lot of work in that direction to kind of get boards to sometimes move. But there were a couple of really good board members on there already. Unfortunately, they were in the minority when it came to their opinions and thoughts on how things should be voted on. But they really are the ones that did a lot of the work. But there was myself and I started a little group with another woman through Messenger that was just a lot of same thinking parents who were just had kids that had enough. And so we just started talking a little bit offline on how we could support those other three board members and how we could support, you know, the new ones coming on that wanted to try and win those seats. And I think we were finally able to rally enough parents to really make a difference there. I think the problem with Centennial is you have a lot of lower income minority families there who are afraid to speak up because they just maybe either one don't speak English as a first language, so they don't really have a way to communicate properly, but also just are afraid to really just put it out there because they are dependent on the system, you know, a little bit more than some of the other parents in maybe like Central Bucks or Council Rock that are surrounding areas. And so to try and get parents to come even to rallies was really tough. I remember the first rally we did right before school started, and I think there might have been 15 of us total there. And it was a little bit sad, but, you know, we did it and we felt like we did our part. But I think from that, people started seeing, and then when they got back to school and things weren't changing and things were, you know, so masked up and lockers weren't being used and water fountains were shut down, I think parents really started to awake and kind of say, you know what, this isn't stopping. This isn't going away. We can't watch our kids at sports games. We can't, you know, anything really. They finally got a little kick in the pants and knew like that they needed to actually attend board meetings and make their voices heard. So, I mean, it was a group effort of all of these. I want to say most of them were ladies that were in my group with me, but I think just the information that Jamie Cohen Walker gave us, just telling us to do the RTKs and to get on a lawsuit, I think it just really kind of made other parents awaken, see what was going on, say, hey, wait, there's a lawsuit. What is this about? How do I get on this? Or what's it about? Like, how is this making a difference? You know what I mean? So I think the reopen movement all together really encompassed everything that happened in Bucks County, and people talking to each other is what actually brought change about.
Yeah. And I'm curious how that compares to your experience down there since you've moved. Obviously here in Bucks County, I feel like the school board wars have kind of been a huge major central theme to the whole thing. It was talked about on a New York Times podcast and in all sorts of publications. We represent one of these areas where the school board meetings are kind of ground zero for COVID debate. When you move down there and, you know, like you described, it's a totally different world. Things are pretty normal. Are people going to school boards and making that their, you know, their podium to speak up about stuff? Or is it just kind of like normal school board meetings?
Yeah, it's kind of normal school board meetings. I haven't attended too many of them yet. I mean, I've popped in on them virtually just to kind of see what it looks like, but there's not, it wasn't kind of the fighting that was going on in Bucks County. And I think that's because there was optional here. Like there wasn't, parents didn't feel the lockdown as bad. I mean, don't get me wrong, because in our county, Manatee County that we're in, they did have, you know, when we came to the school for the first time at the high school, they had the arrows, like you go this way and then this group comes that way. So they weren't passing each other on the same walkway or whatever. But in Florida, you have to understand there's a lot of outdoors. So their schools are set up differently than in Bucks County, where Bucks County, all of the passing of students and everything is inside of a building. Down here in Florida, a lot of it is outdoors. So they have hallways with classrooms, but to get to those, you walk through an open courtyard. So mitigation strategies down here didn't have to be as hard or scary as they were in Bucks County, because these kids actually had a lot of open air, outside air in their transfer. So they did have like water fountains locked down for a little while, I think. And they did have masks for the year prior to us being down here. But when we came, that had all switched to optional. I think Ron DeSantis had a lot to do with that too. I think he kind of had gotten to that point where he was like, yeah, this is not making any sense. So,
all right, moving towards maybe the last question here for you. We're sitting in the spring of 2022, and because of, you know, finally official changes to Democrat guidance, aka, you know, the White House, the CDC, all of this stuff, everything has let up. For you guys, it's probably felt this way for a while, but for us, it's just been in the last like month or so that the whole world has changed, and now it's just, whoop, all of a sudden everybody wants normal. I think for myself, for many others, you are always going to carry around this, you know, this squinting eye, like, hey, what's going to happen in fall when cases go up? Are people just going to try to do the same thing all over again? What does that feel like for you being in Florida? Are you concerned at all about COVID nonsense in the future? Or do you feel like it's behind you?
No, I actually am very concerned about it still. I actually was just talking to Dave about this last night because I said, you know, I don't feel like we're immune from it, and just because we're in Florida, right? So Ron DeSantis is just a man, and right now he is running our state and he has control of some of those things, but he will not always be our governor. So what does the next governor look like? You know, I don't know that yet. And what could come up in the future that maybe could even be worse than this, because I don't put it past, you know, if this was made in a lab, that something worse isn't made in a lab at some point, and where we actually do have to wear some kind of facial covering that is an actual PPE, not like, you know, homemade bedsheet masks, but like, it could we ever become like a China? I don't know. We could. I mean, theirs is from smog, but is there something that could come down the road that could cause that? And so I always do keep my ear to the floor and I always do keep my guard up. Like I said, I feel like it's a little bit of PTSD that will always live with me because
yeah,
always constantly a little bit on guard. I don't think I'll ever let those walls down completely, not even living in Florida.
Well, I can certainly relate to a lot of that. There's certainly trauma that's been caused from this whole thing. And having said that, knowing that we're all kind of walking around with baggage from these experiences, I feel like there are at least some people who get to look back and say, you know what, I did what I was supposed to do. I did the right thing. And for you, I can't say that enough. I'm really, really thankful that you were there with the experience you had when it was needed to help pull this whole crazy idea off and make it happen. I want to thank you for being a part of Reopen Bucks and everything, and just say, hey, keep enjoying that Florida freedom while you can for the rest of us up here.
I will do that. And I always say, anybody who comes down is welcome to come visit us. We have a guest suite, so have at it.
I love it. All right. Thanks so much, Don.
Thank you.
All right. See you, everybody.